Karen Hartglass, your host of It's All About Food. It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me. This is a live call-in show, and you can call in with comments and questions. You know the number, 1-888-873-4643. And I also take email comments and questions at info@realmeals.org. info@realmeals.org. I know you're going to have some comments today because I think we've got a really exciting show. I recently found out that the Steve Irwin, this is a ship with the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, happened to be docking in Manhattan for a few days, and I was able to get someone from the ship to come on the show and talk about what they're doing. Laura, are you with us?
Hey, yes, I am.
Oh, great. Laura, is it Dakin?
Laura Dakin.
Laura Dakin. And okay. You are the cruise cook.
Yeah, I'm the head chef on board the boat.
Head chef. Great. Yeah. We're going to talk about
chief
some...
cook. Whatever.
Yeah, we're going to talk about food because it's all about food. But first, I'm just going to read the Sea Shepherd's mission statement, and then I thought you might tell us about what you're doing.
Right, cool.
So established in 1977, Sea Shepherd Conservation Society is an international nonprofit marine wildlife conservation organization. Their mission is to end the destruction of habitat and slaughter of wildlife in the world's oceans in order to conserve and protect ecosystems and species. Sea Shepherd uses innovative direct action tactics to investigate, document, and take action when necessary to expose and confront illegal activities on the high seas. By safeguarding the biodiversity of our delicately balanced ocean ecosystems, Sea Shepherd works to ensure their survival for future generations. Wow. You know, a lot of people don't really think about the ocean that much in terms of what's going on. It's almost like another planet. You know, it's a place that we don't know very well, and very few actually get under and see all the beautiful life that's there. And I think, unfortunately, because of that big separation, we really take advantage of what's going on there, and we certainly don't think about the life that's there as anything of value.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah.
Very easy to forget about the oceans, and they're pretty much on their way out. They're dying in our time, so...
Yeah, there are so many. There are so many species that are extinct now.
Yeah, so many, and certainly like the campaign that we're just getting ready for here is to save bluefin tuna in the Mediterranean, and they've basically been given 3 years before they go extinct if something serious and drastic isn't done about it.
And
the price of one bluefin tuna now is like something in the $200,000 pound range, like sterling, for one fish. So the more endangered they become, the more people pay for them.
And the more, the more they want them.
The more poaching. Yeah.
Wow. So what does the Sea Shepherd actually do? And I know that I've heard different stories over the years, some of them quite sensational, but it's sounds very, it's...
radical.
Yeah, the word that's coming to my mind is like you're like the vegan pirates or something out there, but doing good, like the Robin Hood of the seas somehow.
Yeah, we kind of call ourselves pirates of compassion, hunting down the pirates of profit, I suppose.
Mm.
I guess people are calling Paul Watson and Sea Shepherd pirates, and he's like, okay, we'll go with that, and it's, you know, kids love it.
Right.
So. Yeah, we basically take direct action to stop the poaching of any kind of endangered marine wildlife, which is pretty much everything right now. So we do the seal campaign in eastern Canada. About 360,000 baby harp seals are slaughtered for their fur. And obviously the whale campaign in Antarctica is a big one. That's one we just came back from. And that's the Animal Planet are also filming that, made a show called Whale Wars. But we just go and we get in their way, and we use our ship to physically intervene and stop them from killing whales. So if they started harpooning whales in the past, then we literally just take our boat and try and cut through their lines, often ending in collision or small little bumps and... Yeah.
And how successful are you, other than pissing these people off?
Well, this year, their quota of over 1,000 whales. They only went back home with 500 whales. Mm. So we managed to save over 500 whales, which was one of our best campaigns yet. And I see, like, when I first joined our first campaign to Antarctica, we had an old slow boat, and we managed to disrupt them enough to save around 80 whales, and just every year we're getting stronger and stronger and we're getting more and more support. So we're able to have just last year 3 vessels, and it really shows in how effective we are. We're literally with the fleet for as long as we can be, and we're just harassing them, and they certainly don't get a chance to catch a single whale while we're with them.
And what are whales used for mostly?
Well, a lot of it, like, I think it's mainly become, I think the whaling fleet was given to Japan after World War II by the Americans. Mm-hmm. And it was used to get protein and to basically a food source and blubber. But now it's become, like, more of a matter of national pride, I guess, and kind of a blood sport. And I think a lot of it's the stubbornness. You don't want to be told what to do. And a lot of the whale meat's being pushed into schools, and which is terrible because it's not very healthy, but a lot of it's being pushed into schools and sold as, like, whale burgers. You can buy whale burgers and all that kind of thing. And it's done under the guise of scientific research, which is totally bogus.
And so how is the harpooning done? How are these precious animals caught? It's kind of sophisticated, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the harpoon vessels are literally killing machines, and they can turn on a dime. They're so fast. They can go over 20 knots, and they basically will spot a whale, and the whale will start to run away. And obviously, like, as it's running, it's taking shorter breaths, and so it can't get a big enough breath to dive into safety. So they basically just, like, run after it and chase it down until it's too slow and too tired to put up much of a fight. Mm. And then the harpoonist will point the harpoon and fire. A lot of the time, they might not get a very good shot, and they'll harpoon several times. Like, there'll be several shots. They'll use guns as well. And it can take up to about 20 minutes for a whale to die. It's a really long, drawn-out, painful, horrific experience that I hope I never have to see again.
Right.
It's really horrible. And then they drag the whale up against the ship, and then they steam down to the Nishin Maru, which is the factory whaling ship, and they do the transfer of the whale in about 30 seconds. So we don't, like, one year, a couple of years ago, they started to whale in front of us for the first time. They'd been too scared previously. And by the time we could catch up to them and knew what was going on, they had 4 whales on board. And then during the transfer of their 4th whale, or their 5th whale, rather, we were kind of on top of them in time, and we managed to cut through them. And after that, they didn't try and get another whale. Mm. We had a collision with one of their harpoon vessels, and it got quite heated.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a factory. It's just
incredible what people can do, and you really wonder what they're thinking and what's in their hearts. Because, I think all animal species are precious myself. The whale in particular, we know how majestic and how intelligent they are. And there's probably so much that we can learn from them.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, if we can't save these big, beautiful, intelligent mammals, then what hope is there for any of the other smaller species that are going extinct? I think over 50,000 species of plant and animal go extinct every year because of human impact on the world. So if we can't save the whales, then, oh my gosh, everything else is doomed. It feels like it's a pretty important campaign because of that.
Pretty much.
Because, you know, people relate to the whale campaign, and it's something that
people
have been screaming about. So.
How did you get involved with the Sea Shepherd?
I got involved because I was living in Bermuda, actually, and I just had recently gone vegan, and I started learning a lot about animal rights stuff, and just kind of, once I started learning a few things, I just wanted to know everything. And then I found out about Paul Watson and the Sea Shepherds, and I liked the kind of direct action, hardcore approach. And the boat just then came into Bermuda, and I was working, and they were a day away from leaving on their seal campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't met any other vegans at that point, and so I went and had dinner with them, and I met the crew, and there was only 11 crew. There was no women on board. It was a really small, we had this old rusty bucket ship. And I just was like, well, I'm just going to do it. And I left and I told my boss, I'll be back in 3 weeks. And that was 5 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's really courageous.
I got completely consumed. I just love it. It's such satisfying work.
And so now you're the chef.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people are on Steve Irwin right now?
So right now in New York, we have about 20 crew.
Mm-hmm.
For a big Antarctic campaign, we have up to 50 crew members.
Wow. So what is it like cooking on the ship, and what do you prepare, and how does that work?
It's pretty challenging cooking on the boat. I'm a bit used to it now, so it gets easier as you go along. But definitely, it's every day, 3 meals a day. We do breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then snacks in between. And there's usually about 3 of us in the galley during a campaign, so there's lots of help around. And everyone chips in with prepping and chopping, and we have garlic peeling parties. And obviously, when the weather gets rough, it's challenging, and you're not feeling the best, and you're basically holding on. You don't want to make soups or anything like that. You try and make usually a lot of rice and ginger and that kind of thing, just plain foods when it's rough weather.
Mm.
And then also because the crew are working outside in cold conditions often, their appetites are massive. So lots of comfort food, and we put on a big Christmas dinner. But it definitely moves around a lot. Like a lot of the time you're just grabbing everything you can find and holding on for dear life because the ship's just lurching and twisting and
how long
many meals end up on the floor.
How long is a campaign and how much food can you get on the ship, and what do you do about fresh food?
We can stay out for about 50 or 60 days with our fuel consumption, depending on if we kind of sit idle for a little while. We take on a lot of food. Produce lasts for about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that once that's up, it's all frozen and canned food after that. And everyone's really good sport about it because everyone's away from their families and it's Christmas time and they're eating frozen broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's cool. Everyone just is there for the right reasons. And yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about it because, you know, a lot of people think it's difficult to prepare vegan food. And I know it isn't. I've been doing it for several decades. And so, you know, I thought, you know, it would be great to talk to you because you're just adding another level of challenge. You're doing it on a ship.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's not hard. Like, I think basically what I tell people is anything that you normally eat, you can pretty much veganize.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many awesome products. I mean, if you don't like soy milk, there's oat milks and almond milks, and they're great. Like, you can whack them into anywhere that says milk, you know. And there's F-balanced margarine instead of butter, and it's healthier, and it's really yummy. And so there's so much fake meat available, so if you want to have, like, sausage rolls or hot dogs, I mean, you can find everything. We eat pizzas and curries and pasta and, you know, like burgers and all that kind of thing. So you can do anything, really.
So what's a typical menu starting with breakfast?
Okay, so for breakfast we'll have pancakes or hash browns or sometimes like a tofu scramble, like a fake egg scramble.
Mm-hmm.
And then for lunch, we'll always have cereals and toast and stuff like that too, and fruit if it's the first 2 weeks of the campaign. And then lunch, we might have, I'm a big fan of soup, salads, and bread, so we make tons of fresh breads and scones and things like that on board because people are hungry, like lots of hungry working people. But we also have pastas and might do theme nights for dinner normally, so we'll pick a country, and we've got an international crew, so we have crew members from Japan and from Brazil and from Germany, all over the world. So we'll have Mexican night, or we'll have Japanese food night, and so we usually just kind of like do a theme night most nights of the week, actually. And then obviously we do like the Christmas dinners, and we'll have like a special dinner party, or kind of trying to make it fun because food is really what keeps the morale high.
Absolutely.
What everyone looks forward to. And so I think it's really important that it's, like, exciting and fun for them. So
have you ever thought of doing a cookbook?
Yeah, I'm actually doing one right now.
Oh, great.
It should hopefully be finished. It's basically a day-to-day of the campaign, the mm-hmm. opposition where we are, like, because obviously the weather depends a lot on the food that you make, and, like, on action days when the crew are literally up and out on deck, sometimes 24 hours, so we have, like, special kind of foods that we put out then, like, warm, comfort foods, and so, yeah, I'm doing a cookbook at the moment. Hopefully it'll be finished by the end of this campaign,
right.
or the last campaign.
Oh, great. That'll be yeah. really fun to see.
Yeah.
And yeah. how is everyone vegan on the ship or just some people?
Well, it's certainly not required at all. We mm-hmm. have a lot of crew members that aren't vegan, which is awesome. They come on board and they are all really good sports and give it a go. All the food served on board is vegan, all the communal food.
Mm-hmm.
And so the crew know that when they come on board, and they're all prepared to give it a go. And a lot of people do a bit of reading about nutrition, and they realize that you can get a fully balanced, nutritious diet on vegan food. You certainly don't miss out on anything. We eat tons of protein, and we get plenty of iron, and, you know, it's just a matter of working out where it is. And so usually people feel pretty cool when they come on board, and they all eat vegan while they're on board. And pretty much, I'd say almost 100% of the crew leave saying that, wow, they're going to definitely change their diets because their eyes kind of open up to how diverse and easy and yummy. And you try foods that you'd never normally eat. People stick so often to their meat and free veg. And, like, we eat these crazy combinations every day of different things. So that's really inspiring.
Yeah, you know, I really appreciate it because there are many environmental groups that have different campaigns and missions to save one thing or another, and they're not vegetarian or vegan, and yet the connection is so blatant, and there just seems to be a level of hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And so it's...
I think it seems to be one of the things that people have just had a hard time connecting and matching up. Because even, like, deforestation, a lot of forest is wiped out to create grazing land for cattle. And, you know, it's definitely a massive part of being an environmentalist is not contributing to factory farming and mass production of any kind of food, particularly animal food. And also a lot of, with us as well, like, a lot of seafood and fish meal and bycatch is fed to cattle. So vegetarian animals, cows and pigs are being fed seafood. And... yeah, so that just seems like, totally hypocritical to be eating cows and trying to save whales and kind of just cancelling out the good that you're doing in a way. So.
I wanted to, what did I just, it just came in and just came out. let's see. So how did you, before you got on the ship, I have another question. I remember reading something about the United States government, you know, in their dealings with the Japanese about whaling and how the Japanese would come back and say, we don't have to listen to you. You have factory farms and you're doing all of this slaughter of animals. So who are you to talk? And it's somewhat hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree.
Yeah.
And so that's another difficult line when people are a single issue and they don't see the whole picture.
Yeah, definitely. It's a big problem. But I mean, I don't think it cancels out. I think just because somebody else is doing something bad certainly doesn't give anyone else the right to continue doing their bad thing.
Oh, of course not. But they use it.
You're right. It is hypocritical. It's hard for countries to point fingers at other countries when basically we're all as bad as each other. Australia has a massive kangaroo slaughter. Slaughters over a million kangaroos brutally every year.
Mm.
So, you know, every country has their dirty secrets.
Yeah.
But I think whales is the reason why we focus on whales is just because it is an easy one for people to wrap their heads around, and it seems that people take the consumption of animal flesh really personally and get quite defensive about it.
Yes.
And so it's not as easy to approach because people instantly put up a barrier, a blockade, because it's something that they're contributing to. But when you can step aside and say, well, Australia's killing kangaroos and Japan's killing, you know, whales, how horrible, and they're not, you know, to blame so much. It's, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how did you get started? Why did you become a vegan?
You know, I think I can't even really put my finger on it, but I didn't even go vegetarian. I just went from, I think I said, I'm going to be vegan this week and I'll let myself eat whatever I want on Sundays. And when Sunday came around, I was like, oh, no. And in that week, I'd been reading up on different things and found all these links, this and that. And then I went down to the, I was like trying to find where the slaughterhouse was on the island in Bermuda. And I was like, I need to know exactly what's going on. And then I felt I'd been lied to. And it, so, yeah, it just kind of happened. Like, it was just kind of a natural, I don't even know what, I think what, like, initially, I'd gone into a health food store and I'd seen a book on, like, kind of healthy living, which, of course, is vegan pretty much for the most part by default. And so I started reading up about it on that level. And then, of course, once I started really looking into recipes, then there became links to different environmental reasons and health reasons and ethical reasons as to why it's good. And I just got, you know, definitely got taken by it all. So, yeah, made sense.
So I'm talking with Laura Dakin. She is the chef on the Steve Irwin, which is a ship doing some campaigns for the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. And you can go to their website at seashepherd.org, and that's spelled SEASHEPHERD.org. Lots of great information up there. Now, you're docked right now in Manhattan at the Chelsea Pier. What are some of the events that are going on?
So, yeah, because we're basically, we have an event tomorrow night, actually, off the subject of Sea Shepherd. This awesome couple of people in New York City have started an animal hospital in Galapagos, and that's a Sea Shepherd campaign we do in Galapagos, protecting the waters around there. And they were there and just saw the dire condition that animals were in. So but they started an animal hospital. And so me and a few others have been baking away, and we're having a bake sale tomorrow night to raise funds for the animal hospital. So tons of vegan treats and cakes and cookies and savory stuff. And I think people will be quite surprised at how yummy everything looks, hopefully. And that is at the Angel and Kings Bar, and it's 500 East 11th Street. Between Avenue A and B, and the event's from 7 till 9, and there's lots of pretty reasonably priced drinks, and I think lots of rad people, and a lot of the Sea Shepherd crew will be there if people want to meet them.
Great.
And then we have basically, yeah, the position of our boat is Pier 59, Chelsea Pier, and it's kind of behind the golf driving range, and we're inviting people to come down to the boat. We're only here for 2 more days. We're inviting people to come to the boat and have a tour of the ship, meet some of the crew, and we're desperately, like, looking for donations of food, vegan food and produce and stuff like that, so we can do our next campaign, because we pretty much rely solely on donations. So if anyone has, you know, pans or margarine balance sitting around, or even a pumpkin or a sack of potatoes, like, we desperately need that kind of thing.
Great. And so that's down at the Chelsea Pier down in Manhattan.
Yep.
Okay.
And also on the website there is a Sea Shepherd event on the Friday night, and all the information is on the website www.seashepherd.org. So.
Well, I love the idea of having vegan bake sales as a fundraiser, where you're making all of this wonderful, yummy, delicious stuff for something really unfortunate that's going on, because it's a real positive way to make a difference. And
exactly.
With yummy, delicious, great vegan baked goods.
Yep, exactly. It's like, really cool.
Have your cake and eat it too, and help something
help the animals.
In unfortunate.
And it's good too, like, when there's so many massive organizations out there, it's hard to know who to support, but these are really great 2 kids who have just put their whole souls into it, so it's really rad. It's totally for, you know, good cause.
I was reading an article about Bryan Adams, the Canadian. Do you know Bryan Adams, the Canadian rock star?
No.
Well, I was just reading an article. I just thought about you guys because he's vegan, and he's a big whale activist, where he's doing work to ask whaling countries to save the whales.
Oh, yeah, Bryan Adams. Cool.
Yeah, so I just thought it kind of fit in with the story here.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a bit behind the times, I think.
Right. Well, no, you are the times. You're news. You're making it happen. I mean, it's, you know, we all have a responsibility to make a difference, and we all can make a positive difference. And the easiest thing that we can do is something three times a day with what we eat, which can make a tremendous difference for the environment and our health and the animals. But you're going the extra mile. I mean, you're really getting your hands dirty, and you've been doing it for 5 years, and very courageous, very brave, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I just think everyone's got to be kind of upset about something enough, you know, even if it's a community project or something at school or something in the workplace that you're not happy with. And, you know, but every, you know, you can't expect to change the world if you don't change yourself. And you're right, by choosing, every dollar is a vote.
Mm-hmm.
By choosing to eat, you know, as ethically as possible, and also buying organic and local produce too, because transport and chemicals sprayed on non-organic crops is also very harmful to animals too, so, and to your body.
Yeah, gosh, the list is long, isn't it?
And organic food just tastes so much yummier.
Absolutely, it has flavor.
It's so expensive, but yeah.
I heard... I was at an event at noon today by my friend Linda Long, who has a cookbook called Great Chefs Cook Vegan, and she invited all these different non-vegetarian chefs to prepare a vegan thing in her cookbook. Mm-hmm. And she had an event today, and one of the chefs that she talked to had said, good soil makes good soup. And the way I connect to that is, you know, organic.
Yeah.
When you nourish the soil and feed it with nutrients, the food, the plants that you're going to get is ultimately going to taste good.
It's true, though. It's crazy. Like, it sounds a bit woo-woo, but it's not. Like, it does. It really does make a difference. You just feel better, you know?
Right. Like, okay. Yeah. So do you have anything else you want to add?
No, not really. Just encourage everyone to check out the Whale Wars website if they want to watch Whale Wars and see what it's like on the boat. And
great.
And to come down and visit the boat. We've only got 2 days, so.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Even though it's cold, it's warm inside.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I know you've been really busy, and I really appreciate talking to you, and I'm going to try and come down on the ship.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for having me.
Okay, thank you.
Cool. All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that was Laura Dakin, the head chef at the Sea Shepherd Steve Irwin, that's parked right now down at Chelsea Pier in Manhattan, and they're doing some wonderful work to save the whales. I think we'll take a short break, and we'll be right back.